Pretty good singing for a Buckeye. Amen? That's good. Thank you for being with us, Brother Paul. Take your Bibles now and let's change gears a little bit as we go to Proverbs 18 and verse 22. I want to talk about some secrets to having a real happy marriage. Some secrets that are found especially throughout the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and it gives us the wisdom about marriage. And I'm telling you that it is needed today, preaching on marriage and wisdom from the Word of God about it. We have so many divorces that are around. May I say to you, if you're a divorcee, don't feel ashamed. It may not have been your fault. You did everything you could to prevent it. Sometimes that happens. We're not down on divorced people here at our church. We want to help them and love them. Many of them could not help what happened to them. But in Proverbs 18:22, the Bible says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing." You better say amen, guys. "And obtaineth favor of the Lord." That was good timing. But it is true, isn't it? It is true. Calm down back there, Brother Paco. We're not in Mexico. Come down. They stand by each other in front of the pastor and they say, "Till death do us part. We're going to love each other and be committed to each other and all of that." And some of them is not very long. In some cases, it's not even a year before they divorce. Some cases, it may be a year or two and they are entering into it. And then yet there are some who determined to stay together. We're going to stay together because we're Christians, but it's almost like an armed truce. They're fighting all the time. There's no joy. There's no happiness. There's no peace in that marriage. And it shouldn't be that way. Henry Ford, after he was married 50 years, somebody asked him, "How did they work out such a good marriage?" and so on and so forth. And he said, "I've treated marriage like I've made automobiles. Just stick to one model." Amen? That's the way he made the Ford. Stick to one model. What causes unhappiness? And I'm going to go through these things a little more hurriedly than I had planned. And that's not putting down anybody. I'm just saying because of time we want to go through these. But in a poll that was taken, here are some of the causes in this particular poll, a recent poll that was taken, as I understand it, that causes unhappiness in marriage. Number one in this particular poll is money. That shouldn't surprise many people. And the question is, where'd the paycheck go? And that happens in a lot of marriages. And there's a big argument over the money. And then children, problems such as noise and social difficulties that come up with children. Many people say that can cause unhappiness because of children. To some, it is drinking. It is money that is spent and then fighting at home. You say, "Well, that never happens in independent Baptist churches." It does happen, I'm afraid. It has to be dealt with when it does happen, but that would be a shame, wouldn't it? Yet I'm not naive enough to believe that cannot happen in our churches. And then there's jealousy. Other men, other women. The way that they conduct themselves around them. And then number five is in-laws. Do I hear an amen? No, never mind. And that is time spent sometimes with not favoring one, or favoring one rather over the other, and then fighting about the imposition of the in-laws who try to run their marriages. Let me just say, in-laws, that's not our calling. Amen? Then another one is staying out late. These may not always be in fundamental Baptist churches, but these are the categories. And number seven is trivial things, just silly things, immaturity, fussing over things that are not important whatsoever. And number eight is leisure time. And it has a lot to do primarily with the husband using his leisure time for golf or fishing or hunting and other things to the neglect of his family and to the neglect of his wife. Number 9 is selfishness. That pretty well covers everything, doesn't it? The word selfishness covers just about all of it. A husband that is very selfish, or a wife that is selfish. And then number 10 is religion. That is not agreeing on doctrine and having different beliefs. That's why a believer should never marry an unbeliever. And I might even go a step further. It would be wiser for you to marry somebody in your own ranks. Somebody that shares the true Bible doctrines. I'm supposing that you're convicted about the Bible doctrines you believe, right? You should be. You should have that foundation by the time you hit that age and then find a mate that agrees and you can serve God together. But if you don't, how can two walk together unless they agree? You can't do it. It's going to cause problems. And I hear all of the excuses and all of the reasons why I love him so much, and I don't care if he is a certain religion and all that, I'm going to change him. And friend, let me tell you, you're asking for some problems down the road. Now, I know that God does intervene sometimes, but I want to tell you, it's the exception. It's not the rule from what I've seen in 44 years of pastoring. Another survey was done in a local church, a Bible-believing church. And here are 5 things that they said in that local church that are most desired traits. Number 1 is that the mate be saved and that mate loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? That's where it all starts, getting saved and falling in love with Jesus. Secondly, being considerate and thoughtful. Just sort of give yourself a little question. Each one of these, 5, about 20 points apiece, and you'll come up and see what kind of grade you get. Number 3 is love for devotion, and devotion for children. Love and devotion for children. And I might add grandchildren, if I could put that in there. Love and devotion for children and grandchildren. Number 4, to be understanding. To be understanding. And then number 5, to be trustworthy and responsible and dependable. All of that together. Trustworthy, responsible, and dependable. Well, those are good things. There are many more things that they mentioned, but these were the top 5. Now, the first home that was ever set up by God was attacked by what person? The devil himself. In the Garden of Eden, he attacked the original husband-wife relationship and home. And by the way, it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen? It was a man and a woman. And that constitutes a biblical marriage in that situation if it's done in the Lord's way. So he has never stopped from that place on. He's never stopped attacking the home. The devil attacks the home. And God, through Solomon, has given us a lot of recipes for how we can have a good marriage. And that's what we should have. And I believe it deals with all of the problems if we study the book of Proverbs. It deals with every problem you might have in a marital situation, and it gives us the information how to solve these problems. Now, let me go, first of all, and talk to the husbands, and then we'll come around as time permits and talk about the wives. But the counsel to the husbands, number 1, is be faithful to your wife. Be faithful to your wife. No infidelity. No infidelity. Be careful, because the temptations are there. Look at Proverbs. Turn back from our text place to Proverbs chapter 5, if you will. We'll read some of these verses as we go along. I'll read them together. Proverbs 5, and look at verses 8 and 10. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 8 and 10. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. That's a warning that you don't fool around and be involved, men, in infidelity in any shape, size, form, or fashion. Verse 15 says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. You stay within the confines of that marital relationship. Verses 20 through 23, he says, "And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord." He's watching all the time. "He pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be held with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." God's watching. God says, don't be unfaithful to your mate. And men, you know that that is perhaps a greater temptation to men than it might be to women. It's because of the way we're made, because of the differences, because God made us that way. If you do that, you're fooling with fire. You're taking fire into your bosom. You play with fire, you're going to have some problems. Proverbs 6, look at that, verses 27 through 29. "Can a man take fire in his bosom and be in his clothes not be burned?" That's a sort of a rhetorical question. "Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent." And it all starts sometimes, guys, listen to me, young guys and adults alike, it all starts sometimes with pornography and things that are on the internet, HBO, Cinemax, all of those things that are available that are out there. A lot of that starts right there, and before you know it, you're in a mess. And you've taken fire in your bosom. And you can't do it and get away with it. Notice that word touch there. A lot of times it was the touch that started and ended a home. Just the what would seem to be not such an important thing. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, "Abstain." And that's what it means. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Stay away from it. Any appearance of evil, just stay away from it. May I add here, women, you should not be presenting any careless gestures to the men. Amen? You should not be presenting any careless gestures to the men. That involves how you dress. That involves whether you're flirtatious or not. All of that enters into it. And all flirtation, even flirtation, should be really guarded against. You need to watch that. Rigidly avoid any flirtation, because that can lead to many, many problems. Stay away from sin if you want a happy marriage. Secondly, men, be a provider. Be a provider. Proverbs 6 through 8. And he tells us, watch an ant. We can learn something from ants. Even the dumb fire ants in Texas. "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." He's saying, if you have a tendency to be lazy, go watch the ants. The Bible tells us, in 1 Timothy 5:8, that a man who does not take care of his own household, doesn't meet the needs of his household, is worse than an infidel. Now that doesn't mean you got to buy all the kids a fancy car, or that you've got to give them a big, big, big super allowance. It's talking about meeting the basic needs of that family that should be met by that husband to be a provider for that family. And that's God's will, and that's God's plan. Proverbs tells us that. In Proverbs 6, verses 10 and 11, "Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." Don't be a lazy husband. Get out and find you a job, find the work, whatever it may be. Do your best at it. Provide for your family. And then wives and family, accept that. And thank God that you have a daddy or a husband that wants to provide for the family. Thank God for somebody like that. And I think there should be in the life of a man some progress that is shown to provide. At least show you're trying. Do your best. If you can't paint the whole house, paint one bedroom anyway. You know? Do what you can. Do what you can to show that you really want to provide for the needs. Be a go-getter. Amen? One guy asked another guy, said, "Are you a go-getter?" He said, "Yeah, my wife works and I go get it 4 o'clock every day." A real go-getter. Amen? That's not the kind of go-getter he's talking about. You ought to be a go-getter. Work and labor for the Lord. Ecclesiastes 10:18. By much slothfulness the building decayeth. I'm not going to look, but I can see women elbowing their husbands right now. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. You should take care of what needs to be taken care of at the house and not be so busy that you can't take care of it. Be a provider. Thirdly, it involves true love. True love. Proverbs 10:12. The Bible says in that verse, hatred stirreth up strifes. Anybody not understand that? But love does what? Covereth all sins. What does it? Love does it. True love. And men, let me say, you need to give your wife love and attention. You need to give her love and attention. I'm going to tell you, if you'll give your wife love and attention, she'll put up with almost anything out of you. Almost anything, she'll put up with it if you'll really convince her that you love her and you show her that you love her. And again, I go back to a lot of leisure time is used by men for hunting and fishing, golf, sometimes sitting down at television. There's some real good couch potatoes that are members of Baptist churches, and they don't take care of the needs of their family, and they don't show the attention that they need to show. I'm going to tell you that love for your wife and love for your family will solve that problem. You will not be selfish if you love your family and love your wife. And there's nothing wrong with fishing and golf, but don't let it get out of hand. Honey, there's nothing wrong with all that. Don't let it get out of hand. Put it in perspective. And don't neglect your wife and don't neglect your family and be selfish just because you want to do those things. There are a lot of golf widows out in our society today. Now, we don't have a lot of goofers in our church, but don't let it become something that would cause that to happen to you in any of those areas. Another area is patience. Patience. Proverbs 14:17. Let's see what the Bible says. Proverbs 14:17. The scripture says very succinctly and clearly, he that is soon angry does what? Dealeth foolishly. Say it with me. Dealeth foolishly. And a man of wicked devices is hated. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. I think that we need to learn to have patience. You know, one of the things is in the cluster of the fruit of the Spirit, long suffering. Man, I want to ask you something. I ask us all, are we long suffering with our wives? That is biblical, and that is part of the fruit of showing that you are controlled by the Holy Spirit, that you're not impatient with your wife. Long suffering. Proverbs 19 and verse 11. The Bible says in that verse, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. What is the glory of a man? It is his glory to pass over a transgression. That's not only in the marriage, but it's in other areas of life. But it's certainly a biblical principle that God gives us, and that is that we should be patient. And some husbands just don't like to talk. I don't have time to sit down and talk. I'm too busy. I don't like to talk. I don't like to communicate. I told you I loved you when we got married, and that ought to be enough for the rest of our life. You should have believed me then, you ought to believe me now. And I don't have time to sit down and talk to you. No, listen. You need to sit down if it means communication. You say, I just don't like communication. Doesn't matter whether you like it or not. If you love her, you're going to communicate with her. You're going to give her some time. You're going to let her speak her mind without interrupting her every time she opens her mouth. You're going to be one who allows that in your life. Sit down. Talk over the problems. You can work them out, but you'll never work them out. Why? You know, couples wait until they have an explosion, then they run to my office and say, hey, straighten out this mess we've gotten into. When if they had just started way back doing what Proverbs says, communicating a little bit, talking about these things and praying together and trying to work them out, they probably could have worked them out. And have a sweet spirit about it. The Bible again in Proverbs 17:22 says, A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A happy husband is good medicine for the family. But a broken spirit drieth the bones. That's why we got a lot of dry bones in our churches sometimes. You need to have a happy spirit and a joyful heart. And then another area is total abstinence. I won't spend much time on that. But let me just tell you, Proverbs again says this in 20 verse 1. He says, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Alcohol, the brewer's art. I'd like to put a billboard up there and show some of the people that were killed just recently because of a drunk driver and put onto there the brewer's art. Adrian Rogers did that one time, ran a whole big billboard there in Tennessee, Memphis, and the beer company said, we're going to sue you. He said, please do. Come on, please do. They backed off. They decided they didn't want to sue him because he was ready with his guns loaded to show what they were really up to and some of the problems that developed because of that. But I can tell you that a lot of times it's alcohol that causes divorces by the thousands. And then hear and heed the word of God, men. Just hear and heed the word of God. Proverbs 28, let's look there very quickly. I'm going as quickly as I can and turning to these verses. Proverbs 28, verse 9, the Bible says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. If you don't listen to the word of God, you might as well not pray, because you're out of the will of God. Verse 20, he says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. If you're a faithful man to the Lord, you abound with blessings, the first part of that verse. And that's true. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. We need dads that will hear the word of God and heed the word of God and set the example and do it. Now, let's say something to the women. God's counsel to the wife, and I'm getting it right out of the word of God. A woman should be a woman of wisdom and discretion. Ladies, are you listening? You can say amen. Thank you. 10 of you are listening. Good. Wisdom and discretion. Proverbs 11:22. Listen to this verse. As a jewel of gold and a swine's snout. Did you get that description? As a jewel of gold and a swine, that's a pig, you know, swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. She may be a pretty lady, but if she doesn't have discretion, it's a mess. You need to have discretion. Wisdom and discretion. In other words, what do you mean, preacher? Learn what God wants and do what God wants. Learn what He wants and do what He wants. Proverbs 19:14, don't turn there. I'm just going to have to read these to you. A prudent wife is from the Lord. The scripture says that. A prudent wife. And we need that. And wives, let me just say to you, don't question God's authority. Is God right? Amen. Is His word right? Amen. So don't question His authority. In Ephesians chapter 5, it's very clear where it says that the wife is to be in submission to her husband. I didn't get an amen on that. Husbands are scared to say anything, the wives afraid to also. It's in there, isn't it? Isn't that in Ephesians chapter 5? Isn't it there in the Bible? And wives are to be in submission to their husband. You're to encourage your husband. You're to love your husband. You're to honor your husband. You are to recognize, according to the Bible, that he is the head of the home. Some men are so henpecked they have to roost on the end of the bed at night. That's the truth. And the ones that are looking at me real sternly now, mad, those are the guys. Just look around. That's them. They gave themselves away. The man should be the head of the home. That doesn't mean you're a mean dictator. That's not what he's talking about. That you're a popping the whip all the time. And he says, love your wives as Christ loved the church. It works together. There's sort of a mutual submission. But the final bottom line is, there has to be a head of that home, and that is the husband, not the wife. And if you get that backwards, you're going to have a lot of problems. You'll never, never have the joyful marriage that God intends for you to have if that's the way. And wives, may I just say this without saying a whole lot, because we're in mixed company. Keep the fires of love burning. Does anybody not understand that, you adults? Keep the fires of love burning. It's not just your duty. It ought to be a pleasurable thing to enter into intimacy in marriage. Now, there may be some physical difficulties and all of that, but I'm just saying that there is that taught very clearly in the Word of God. And then the Bible teaches that a godly woman's home is her career. Primarily her career. That does not mean that a woman cannot work outside of the home. Some single mothers have to do that. But whether you do or whether you don't. Now, I personally believe the Bible says that if a woman has children, her place primarily is at home. To rear those children. Keepers at home. But I know that's not politically correct. And I know that in our society, everybody says, oh, you just can't make it, and so on. That's a bunch of baloney. Dr. James Dobson and many have done studies on that to show that it belongs in the crock pot. It's a bunch of baloney. You can do it if you do it right. You can save more on medical bills and two cars and other insurance and health problems and all that kind of stuff to make it on your salary if you'll work at it and do what the Bible says to do. But you do what you've got to do. But I'm telling you that the Bible says in Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her home, her house. And there should be a home of happiness. It should be a haven of happiness, not something like you're trying to win the Kentucky Derby or something. It should be a place of joy and happiness. A place of love. It should be a haven of rest, a castle for the husband to come home to, a retreat for him and for her. And I can tell you, the Bible teaches that the home is so important. And I'm going to say this, and some people misunderstand it, but I'm going to tell you that sometimes the home should come before the church. And I know some of you are saying, oh, yeah, great, I won't come on Sunday night anymore so we can go out. I'm going to take care of my family and we can go camping every Sunday afternoon. Or that's not what we're talking about, and you know better than that. But what we're talking about is, don't get so overly involved in church. You may think that's the most spiritual thing in the world, but wives, be careful that you don't get so overly involved in church stuff everywhere all the time that you neglect your husband and neglect your children and neglect your family. And you say, preacher, nobody would ever do that. Oh, yes, they would. I've seen them do it. And there's always that temptation. Now, for most, it's not even a temptation. But I'm saying that that's the way it ought to be. Don't get overly involved. The home was here before the church was. Amen? And it's important. Now, I'm not minimizing the importance of the local church, but I'm just telling you the home is important, and God's calls and God's commands are never in conflict. They never are in conflict. The home is first, and then there should be, and there will be, if you do the right thing, there will be time for the church. Some men have been ask, what do you expect of your wife? What do you expect of her? And these were some of the answers. I want a good cook. Does any woman know how to cook good homemade biscuits anymore? My wife does. I think. It's been so long, I'm not sure, but I think. The last time I had a good horse. Hey, I'm bragging on her. Good homemade biscuits. She has a busy schedule. But men want a good cook. My wife is a good cook, by the way. I'm backpedaling, you know that. They want somebody who'll keep the house clean. Amen? And somebody who tries to be neat and as attractive as they can be. In her personage and her house. Not a beauty queen, none of that stuff, necessarily fighting to be that, but just to be as neat and attractive, keep the house clean, and be a good wife. That's what a lot of men expect. And then there's gentleness. A woman should have gentleness. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Wives, you need to be patient like your husbands need to be patient with you. You need to be patient with them. And again, that is the fruit of the Spirit. And then there should be contentment. There should be contentment. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therein. Ask Tiger Woods if you don't believe that. Ask Deion Sanders if you don't believe that. You see the mansion they show? You'd think that woman would be satisfied with everything. He'd be satisfied with everything. Multi-million dollar mansion. That's not what it is. It's contentment. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therein. Don't pray for what you need, but use what you have. And don't always be worrying about what you don't have. So many people are worried about what they don't have. If I had a bigger house, I'd have people over for a Bible study. Well, try the one you have. And then God might give you a bigger house and a bigger crowd. I don't know. But I'm just saying we need to do what God says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And don't worry about what you don't have. Use what you do have and pray for what you need. And God will use that. Be content. Covetousness, did you know, is a form of idolatry? It's all in the same category. We just think we've got to have everything, and so many of God's people take that plastic credit card and run it up to the hilt, trying to think they're going to be satisfied. Listen, we have more than we've ever had, but I'm not a whole lot more satisfied than I was in our garage apartment when we first got married, as far as just being plain old satisfied. God is so good. Now, the deacons may want to cut my salary after making that statement, but that's all right. I still stand by what I believe. But at any rate, that is the principle of the Word of God. And wives, don't put an unnecessary pressure on your husband to furnish a lot of things that he's going to have to go in debt for and mess up the rest of your life with high interest payments and all of that. Do like some of these people. You heard them say it was $70,000, $80,000 debt retirement already during this time. Get out of debt. Amen? Get out of debt. Your house is sort of an investment. That's maybe an exception. But otherwise, get out of debt. Put up the plastic and start using cash. It's harder to pull it out of the wallet and use it. Get out of debt. It's a good thing, and you can. You'll be amazed how quickly you can get out of debt. And then there should be humility. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. If you want riches, honor, and life, how do you get it? By humility and the fear of the Lord. Proverbs, again, 22 and verse 4. Be submissive. Be there by your husband's side. Be humble. Be a helpmeet as God intends. And husbands, you lead in the devotions. You lead in that family. But wives, be supportive. If your dear husband wants to have devotions, take that time. You help him out with the family. And then there's quietness. Proverbs 21. Let's turn there very quick. I'm almost through for some of those of you that might be worried. All right? Proverbs 21 and verse 9, the Bible says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. That's almost humorous, isn't it? Some of you guys are laughing. What are you laughing about? There does seem to be some humor in that, doesn't it? And yet it's true. Verse 19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Ladies, are you angry about something? Are you failing to forgive your husband about something? Is there bitterness and anger in your heart? Get over it. Get over it. And have quietness. I heard about a man that donated a loudspeaker in memory of his wife to a local church. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. Okay. Proverbs 27:15, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. That's what the Bible says. I'm just quoting the Bible. Amen. Quoting it for the men, quoting it for the ladies, quoting it for myself. And then there's godliness. Proverbs 31. In verse 30, guys, you ought to listen to this. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. Don't just go after those things when you're looking for a mate. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That's the verse that brought me to my wife, because I felt like she met that verse. And I still feel like it after coming up June, 49 years rather, this coming June, and I still feel the same way. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, you ought to praise her. She should be praised. And being godly should be one of your greatest concerns, so that you're godly and your husband is godly and your children are godly and your grandchildren are godly. Some people say, well, my marriage is on the rocks. Let me tell you something. A marriage on the rocks can be rebuilt by the Rock of Ages. You just got to turn it over to Him. Unsaved, that's where you start. Saved person, the same way. And God wants us to have happy marriages. And if we'll take the principles, and I just touched on some of them, that are right here in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, book that will tell us how to do it. If we'll go by those things, husbands, we'll go by those things, ladies, you'll go by those things, then, and only then, can you have the maximum joy and happiness in your marriage. It all starts with Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Go to the Lord in prayer, and then if you're here without Christ, I invite you to come. There's a prayer need. Maybe God's spoken to your heart about something tonight. You and God know that. If God is leading you to join our church, we would love to have you as God leads you. You know what we are. We're just an old-fashioned, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, mission-minded, soul-winning church. That's what we are. We'd invite you to come if God leads you. Become part of our church. Father, thank you for your love and mercy and grace. God, thank you for the blueprint of life, the Word of God, the black print. We can go to it. If we just do what it says, we can be happy. We can be happy in our marriages. Lord, I think it's such a sad thing that any Christians would not have a wonderful, wonderful marriage. This side of heaven, I don't know of anything that's any greater than having a wonderful home and a wonderful marriage. May you help us to get rid of our pride, do what you tell us to do, so that we can have homes that are strong for God, so we can cut down on the divorce rate in the Christian community, which is just as high as the non-Christian. God, help us in this loose age, this very liberal age, that we would be determined to do what you say, not only to stick together and stay together, but to do it with joy and happiness and the biblical principles running our homes, our lives, our marriages. Help that person that needs to be saved tonight to come to Christ. In Jesus' name we ask it.